beginning at verse number 12. The psalmist says this, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat or fresh and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." The lesson title for this afternoon is, "Old Yes, But Still Going Strong." Old Yes, But Still Going Strong. A goal for many people in life is a period of happy retirement. They spend their years saving and planning for the time in which they can retire. They look forward to the free time to do whatever interests them. Whatever they don't want to do, they don't have to do, as was shared in the piece this morning. But is this concept of retirement that so many people have, is it really applicable to the kingdom of God? We may rightly retire from our secular jobs, but what about our service in the kingdom or in the church? Granted, physical infirmities may sometimes be a hindrance, but is such a valid reason for truly retiring from the work of the Lord? In the scripture text that I shared with you from the book of Psalms this afternoon, we find a description of the righteous. They are described, as you read along with me, as palm trees and cedar trees flourishing in the house and courts of God. And again, note particular verse number 14 that says, "They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing." This passage then suggests to us that there is a place of service for the elderly in the work of God, that there is certainly no retirement in the work of God. They are able to again bear fruit and to remain fat or remain fresh and flourishing despite their old age. So it is apparent that God wants people to still serve him in their old age. Oh, yes, but still going strong. When we look in the Bible, in God's word, God-inspired book, we can see various people of elderly age being productive and being useful in God's plan and scheme of things. Let me just share just a few of them with us this afternoon, and then let's make some applications even for the old in today's time. You remember Moses, you remember Aaron. these two servants of God that were called to go down into the land of Egypt and to say to Pharaoh, in so many words, to let my people go. They were old men. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that Moses was 80 and Aaron was 83 when they were called to do this. Exodus chapter 7 and verse number 7 points that out. Moses being the penmanship, if you will, of the author, the human author, that is, of Psalms chapter 90, says in verse number 10 that the days of our years are 70. That was the average age during the time he was inspired to write that. 70. That's my age. I'm 3. And if you ask somebody, ask you how old is Brother Branch, tell them he's 70. That's my age. If by reason of strength, he went on to write, they be 80. Well, Moses and Aaron had well passed 70. They were on the other side of 80. My point again is that God used these old men, these elderly men, to bring forth fruit, to do his bidding by going into the land of Egypt. Y'all remember Joshua and Caleb? Some more old men. They were given, Joshua in particular, was given the charge of leading in the conquest of Canaan during the last 30 years of his life. And the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 29 that when he died, he was 110 years old, an old man, still being fruitful, still bringing forth fruit in his old age. Caleb being the other one, Joshua chapter 14 points out that he was 85 years old when he made the statement, "Give me this mountain." Can you hear an 85-year-old man saying that? He was still being used in God's scheme of things. He was still going strong. As a matter of fact, he even makes the statement that he was just as strong as he was when Moses called him and assigned him the task of going into the land of Canaan to spy it out. 40 years later. Now he's 85. He says, "I'm still strong, still being fruitful in his old age." Anna, in the book of Luke, chapter 2, who was a prophetess, she witnessed the presentation of Jesus when he was a young child, being brought to the temple to be circumcised. She was at least, the Bible says, 84 years old. Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 37. She was a widow. But the Bible describes her as being one that was going to the temple daily, serving and praying to God. No retirement for Anna. No retirement for Caleb, no retirement for Joshua, no retirement for Moses in serving God Almighty. Then the Apostle Paul still was going strong in his old age. He describes himself as being an old man in the book of Philemon. Verse number 9. He says this, "Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, Paul, the old man, Paul, the senior citizen. He was an old man. But yet, we know he was a fruitful man in his old age. Wrote more letters that we have reserved for us in the New Testament than any other writer. Four of them were written while he was in prison, while he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ in a cell, in a dungeon, still being fruitful. And when he was out of prison, traveling, visiting various congregations and encouraging Christians to remain steadfast. An old man, still going strong, still being fruitful in his old age. All of these God was still using in their senior years. I want to say to all of us senior citizens, continue to let God use you in our senior years. Don't retire from the service of God, but be fruitful, be productive, be like the cedars of Lebanon. Work continuously in the kingdom of God. Is there work for old people to do today? Yes, indeed. As we said, even in one of our Bible classes on Tuesday morning, I believe, nobody needs to ever have an excuse that there is nothing for me to do in the church. Everybody can't be the song leader, no. Everybody is not the preacher, no. Everybody are not the elders, no. Everybody are not the deacons, no. Everybody are not the Bible school teachers, but there is plenty to do in the service of our Lord. Older women are needed. Older men are needed. Look at some things that older women are needed for. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, Paul points out to Titus a catalog of things for older women to do. Especially, he says, that you need to teach the younger women. Teach them what? Teach them how to love their husband, how to love their children, how to be good wives, how to be discreet, how to be homemakers. Sadly, though, some women stop teaching when they reach the age that they are really commanded to teach. They say, I don't want to teach anymore. I'm too old to teach. No, we never get too old to teach. He also said, teach them, to teach them these good things. If you don't feel like you're qualified to teach, then prepare yourself. Commit yourself to becoming a teacher. Not necessarily, again, you don't have to be behind a lecturing stand. You don't have to be in a controlled classroom. But even in your private settings, as you experience association one with another, in particular with the younger women, I'm talking the older women to the younger women, you need to be teaching them how to conduct themselves, how to be what God wants them to be. Older men, the same thing for those who are older, need to be busy teaching younger men how to truly be men of God. Teach them, Titus was told in chapter 2, 6 through 8, verses 6 through 8, he was told to teach them to be sober-minded, to be grave, sincere, and to have sound speech. And in the middle of all of that, he said to Titus, I want you, he says, to show yourself an example. And I know if Titus needed to be an example, I know the older men also needed to be an example. Sometimes maybe we who are older can't really teach what we ought to teach or what God wants us to teach because we ourselves are not the example. We need to make sure that we are examples of what we are trying to impart to the younger people. So again, he says, showing thyself a pattern in all things, not just some things, but a pattern in all things. A pattern simply means to say that you are a child of God and then to demonstrate that you are a child of God. It should never be our mindset to do as I say, not as I do. The Christian's mindset ought to be to do as I do because I'm doing as Christ would have me to do. Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, be followers of me even as I am of Christ. He didn't say, if I am of Christ. He says, even as I am of Christ. That tells me that Paul was following Christ. So he was saying, I'm your example. I am following Christ. Now you follow me. So those of us who are older, we need to be examples of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then when the older woman is an example, she can teach the younger woman. When the older man is an example, he can truly teach the younger man. Of course, those of you who are young, who have not reached 70, that does not excuse you from not obeying God, because you have a responsibility yourself. But the point that I'm saying is that those of us who are older can be so effective in helping you to become what you ought to be when you see an example and you are willing to follow that example. There's always a need for service that the elderly can provide in the Lord's church. Service like hospitality and benevolence. You see, many elderly are financially, many of them, not, I'm not saying all elderly people are that way, but many elderly people are, at least in that life, they are pretty much financially secure. They're able to do what many young families cannot do because they don't have the $400 and $500 and $600 and above mortgage anymore, unless they have refinanced their houses time and time again. They paid off their house. They don't have all of these other giant and gigantic expenses that younger families are having. Most of them don't. So they're more financially secure, and so they can be more benevolent. They can even be in a position to be more hospitable than many of the younger families. Edification and evangelism is another area that the elderly can truly bring forth fruit in their old age. Because you see, they don't have to get up in the morning and punch a clock. I know we don't normally punch clocks anymore. Most people don't. But my point is that they don't have to go to a 9 to 5 or 7 to 3:30 or whatever the 8-hour job is, regularly every day. They don't have to do that anymore now that they're retired. So they got some time on their hand that they can be more productive in evangelism, going out and teaching people, encouraging people, edifying, visiting people. Again, not just, and I know we like to sleep late, but not just sleep till 12 o'clock every day. Use some of all of this good time that God has blessed us with now to teach somebody, to encourage somebody, to be of service in other areas that we didn't necessarily, quote, have the time to do when we were 40 years younger. And even those who are limited, even by physical disabilities to some degree, can do some things if they are not totally paralyzed. Things like sending cards, making phone calls, and even they can just, if they're lying in their bed sick, if they still have the mental wherewithal, they can still pray not only for themselves while they're sick, but they can pray for somebody else. Look at what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 5. Speaking in terms and in the context of widows, it says, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplication and prayers night and day. Praying, of course, for herself, but also she can pray and we can pray for other people. Pray for people that are in the mission field. Pray for people that are in Liberia. Pray for people that are around the globe doing the work that the Lord has called them to do. Pray for the elders. Pray for the preacher. Pray for the deacons. Pray for the Sunday school teachers. Pray for the brothers and sisters in the congregation where you are. Even if all you can do is lay in the bed on your back, you can still pray. You're still being fruitful in the kingdom of God. And then you can also, as I talk about being an encouragement to the young and to others, look at some other things that the psalmist talked about. Again, in verse number 15 of Psalm 92 that we read, he says, "Show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." We can talk about that to others, to our young people, to others that we come in contact. Declare that the Lord is a good Lord. I know we make the statement that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Let's just don't declare that because it sounds good, but declare that because we know it is good, and people will be able to know that we do believe that God is a good God all the time, and all the time that he's good, because they see a demonstration of our appreciation for the goodness of God in our lives by the way we live, by the way we treat one another, and by the way even we worship him. Declare that the Lord is upright. And then the psalmist said this in Psalm 71, verses 17 and 18. He says, "O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to what? Come." He's talking about to this generation and even to the generations that are to come. We need to be talking about the goodness of God. And then he said this in Psalm 78. The verses are 1 through 8, and we won't read all of them this afternoon, but as you read them there, you see that he is expressing this idea that we are to recount God's mighty works to the next generation and to the generation after that. Now, we won't be alive in the generation after us, but when we recount the generation to the next generation from us, then that next generation, because we have given them an example and have spoke about God's goodness, and now they realize that and they become a part of God's goodness as they express the goodness of God to the next generation, and the next generation keeps doing it over and over again. All that happens because of folks like us who are old, who express God's goodness in our lives, and we pass it on to the next generation. There is something that all of us can do. Yes, we're old, but we're still going strong. I hope that you take this as a motto for us to live by as we continue to be fruitful in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, God will certainly use people of all ages. Again, we may retire from our secular jobs, but not from service to the Lord. The righteous can, and the righteous should, still bear fruit in our old age. So I hope that this lesson this afternoon will encourage the elderly to reexamine our usefulness to the Lord and his church. And let us never even consider retiring from working in the kingdom of the Lord. Because God needs the old, he needs the young, he needs every one of us. the righteous shall still bear fruit in their old age. You're here then this afternoon as we close. And you look at your life, and I'm talking to old and young now, and realize that we've not been as fruitful as we ought to be. I want to encourage all of us then, if we realize that, to rededicate ourselves to being fruitful in the kingdom of God. And if you have not begun to be fruitful, that is, if you have not even become a member of the body of Christ, if you're not in the kingdom of God, if you're not in the church, I want to encourage you to obey the Lord so that you can bear the fruit that God intends and wants for you to bear in the kingdom of God. Believe his gospel, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus Christ, and be baptized in water for the remission of sins. God will add you to the church. Once you're added to the church, start being fruitful. In your young days and as you grow into your middle age, you're still fruitful. And if you keep on being dedicated to God in your old age, you're still fruitful. And if God would bless you to live like he blessed Caleb to live 129 years old, who knows? We have some that are living 106, 115 years old now. You've seen some of them. Who knows? God may want to keep you around for that long and even longer. But if you still have the mental wherewithal, he expects you to keep bringing forth fruit in your old age. So if you're here then and you need to come, we encourage you to come. Come while the blood is still running warm in your veins. While you're in your right mind, would you come? Come right now while we stand, while we sing.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of